My guest in the studio is one of Australia's foremost jazz pianists and composers. She's performed extensively throughout Australia and Asia and has composed for film, theatre and dance productions. She released her debut CD, Leonie Cohen Plus, in 2005 to critical acclaim and has recorded a follow-up trio recording for ABC. Leonie Cohen, welcome to Now's the Time.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Leonie, tell us how you became involved in music. My understanding is you come from quite a musical family.
That's correct. My mum is a pianist and piano teacher as well, and I found out in the last decade that my late great aunt, so my mum's auntie, was one of the first female jazz pianists to play live on radio in South Africa. Yeah, and unfortunately, a long time ago before things like iPhones, so there are no recordings of it.
Did you get most of your inspiration from your mum?
Oh, I'd say a lot. I mean, I think just generally, my dad is also a great appreciator of music, and I've always been surrounded by and exposed to a great deal of music culturally as well. I'm of Jewish heritage, and there's a lot of music that seeps in from things like the festivals, and there's a lot of beautiful music in synagogue, so all around me.
Were you born here in Sydney?
I was not. I'm actually South African born, and right. You probably detect that because I said instead of I'm South African born, I said I'm actually South African born. It's a very South African thing to say. Oh. But I came here when I was 3.5, so pretty much most of my life in Australia.
What about jazz, though? When did that become a big part of your musical life?
It's interesting. I would say I couldn't put a particular time frame on it. I will say that throughout early high school, I suddenly decided that I liked jazz. I don't know if it was because I'd heard a particular recording, but whenever I heard jazz style music, I just had a real affinity to it and wanted to play it always. So, and it's I think looking back now, I can analyze it and say that the things that I really enjoyed doing were working out things and playing things by ear and making things up. And there's a lot of opportunity for that if you play jazz.
So that's what specifically attracted you to jazz, the idea of being able to improvise?
Possibly. I would say a combination of things, and that certainly is a big part of it.
Who are your major musical influences, and are they necessarily piano players?
Specifically, I would say my favourite piano player who has influenced me from listening to him the most is Herbie Hancock.
Anyone else?
Chick Corea, definitely. Definitely a lot of the teachers I had when I was studying at Sydney Conservatorium, Judy Bailey, Paul McNamara, Mike Nock, most definitely, Roger Frampton, and just listening to as much, not only jazz, but as much music as possible all the time. A lot of, I know that after I had studied jazz at the Con, I went back and studied a lot of classical piano, solo piano music for two reasons. One, for the love of it, and two, to build up a lot better technique. Yeah, there's so much good music, it's hard to narrow it down, really.
Early 90s, you completed a course at the Conservatory?
Yeah, I did the, at that time, it was the two-year jazz diploma, 91-92.
And some of those names there obviously were part of the Conservatorium teaching fraternity at the time. Roger Frampton?
Yep, late Roger Frampton was there. In fact, all those four players were there and really very influential.
But what about Herbie? What is it specifically about Herbie that you like?
There's no doubt that he's genius. There's that. But it's also I find it very accessible as well. It's not genius that is just, gosh, what is that? I have no idea. It's the kind of music that I can listen to and go, wow, I really want to see what's happening there. And then when I try and work some of it out, it's all the more intriguing and amazing. Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, it's a beautiful, beautiful piece written by Naomi Shemer. Earlier in 2003, the ABC invited me to record some original arrangements of traditional Jewish material, and this was a more contemporary piece that I arranged.
Australia seems to be disproportionately blessed with so many great piano players, Leonie. We seem to be receiving many from New Zealand as well, on top of our homegrown talent. But how difficult is it to find gigs?
I think there is workaround. I have been fortunate in two ways. One is that I teach and I really enjoy the teaching, which is quite a stable, lovely thing to do. And the nature of gigs to me, they come and go. I've been quite lucky and had enough work, but they do come and go. The advantage of being a piano player is if one instrument or two instruments are booked, often it is a pianist first. So
hypothetically, if there was professional work of your choice enough for you to give up teaching, would you do that?
Probably not. I actually really love the teaching. Mm. I find it, as much as I find playing live a really fantastic creative outlet, I also find that with the teaching, the challenge of figuring out what's going to work for each particular student and also to write particular tunes, to teach skills, I find it really enjoyable.
What would you change about the Sydney live music scene if you could change something?
Oh, of course, there'd have to be a Steinway Grand in every venue without say, and, you know, every bar, every... I would love to see bigger audiences and more supportive audiences. I'm always astounded seeing sporting events and getting caught in traffic on the way to sporting events, knowing that 50,000 people will be watching one game. And I think, come see some jazz, people. It's pretty exciting too.
I spoke with a pianist recently, Leonie, who felt that among jazz players, there was a tendency for jazz artists to be more concerned about what their musical peers thought rather than their potential audience. Now, this might amount to some form of musical peer pressure, probably occurring more often among the younger players. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Ooh, do I talk about the jazz police or not? I could get booked doing this. Look, there is a certain amount of peer assessment and often healthy competition. I think, I know I can speak from my experience, the older I get, I think I do care what other players think, but much less. And I'm certainly well aware that I'm there to let the audience enjoy and experience what I'm playing, and not necessarily out to stun them playing, you know, things that are not accessible. I think to me, accessibility and playing honestly what I want to play is the thing I try to do.
So it is noticeable on the scene in Sydney, this peer pressure?
It can be. Look, I haven't experienced it for a while. I know way, way back, you know, jazz police was a term that was bandied around. Jazz has a little bit of a history, not in a huge extent, but of players checking out other players and, you know, seeing who can play faster and, you know, outplay each other and all that. You know, that to an extent. I think, like I was saying before, I think healthy competition in the scene is there, and there are plenty of players around town, way more experienced than myself, that I go and see, and players less experienced that I go and see to check out the music and enjoy and not really vibe anyone out. I think by and large it's a very supportive scene.
What would your life be like without music?
Very quiet, I think. It's a huge part of my life in so many ways, and I actually can't imagine it without. It would be to me like a life without language or without love. I don't know.
What do you think you'd be?
Oh, who knows? All sorts of things. What do I fancy myself as being?
Sounds like you might be a teacher.
Oh, a teacher. Look, I think I'd definitely be teaching something.
You've composed for film, theatre and dance productions. What effect does the extra benefit of imagery have on the compositional process?
I love it. I love collaborating with people involved in different mediums or media. Dance, for instance, I am three-legged. I'm probably about 30-legged. Love dance and I'm fascinated by it. Cannot do it, but I've had the opportunity to work with various dance performances, and it's a different way of getting inspiration to write. And just a bit of a treat to see what can be evoked by a dancer from something I've written.
Do you bring that across to your brand new trio album that will be out very soon? And so far as your compositional ideas, are they coming from, say, possibly images that you have?
It's interesting. When I decided what to put on the artwork and liner notes, I wrote a little blurb about each piece, and each piece is quite a specific reaction or had a specific intent when I was writing it. So it's as varied as two pieces came out of reading particular books. One is James McBride's The Sound of Water. The other is Helen Garner's True Stories. One of them was written for an amazing lady, the late Joy Fisher, who was an incredible pianist and teacher of mine. It's usually an emotional reaction to something that then gets molded into a piece.
I noticed two of the nine tracks on your about-to-be-released trio album are standards.
Yes.
Billy's Bounce by Charlie Parker, In a Sentimental Mood by Duke Ellington. And the rest are from your own pen, which is contrasting from your first album. Now, does composing come easy to you?
It does, and it's something I really love to do. I think it does.
Describe the process. Is it something that happens at the spur of the moment and you actually rush to the piano, or is it something that you work at? You have an intent to sit down and actually compose something?
Yeah, good question. It can be both, I think. I cannot remember who the author was, but someone asking this particular author, what's your recipe for writing books? And the author said, well, each recipe is different, each book is different. I mean, of later years, I think a lot of the stuff I've written is to brief. So I've been collaborating with Liesl Bedorik for children's shows that she's been putting on at the Opera House, and explains to me specific scenarios. Earlier pieces that I've written tend to be from, like I say, before reading a book or for a particular event. But yeah, no rule. And in a sense, each time I sit down at the piano, and the nature of jazz, the audience often hears, if I was doing even say a piano bar gig or something like that, I'd play a piece through and then I would use the structure of that and the chords of that and then improvise something spontaneously over it and then play the original version in my own way. So composition can be a live improvised thing or can be an intellectual thing, wanting to do it more intellectually. Yeah, it's very, very draw from a whole lot of different things.
Now, you mentioned before The Sound of Water was inspired by a book. Tell us a little bit about that.
Ooh, James McBride is a black American writer, who wrote a book about his mother's life. His mother was Polish Jewish and her family settled in the south of North America. And she had a terribly unhappy childhood with an abusive father and escaped to Harlem and converted to baptism, and the story goes on. She ended up having, I can't remember exactly, but something like a dozen children, of which James McBride is one, and he's a very renowned saxophonist and author. And the book was just remarkable. The extraordinary thing about that, actually, I met him. My mum bought me tickets to a book launch of his, and I met him and gave him a copy of my composition, and we hung out, and he ended up recording it and releasing it on his CD.
In New York, was it?
In New York, yeah. So that was, a really beautiful thing to happen. I remember at the time I was pretty much struggling away because it can be quite unrewarding slogging away practicing, and it was a really lovely thing to happen.
So this is quite an old piece of yours.
It is quite an old piece. Yeah. I've never formally recorded it, so this is a nice opportunity.
One final question. Sideshow Pony, that's the title of the album. Tell us about that.
Sideshow Pony. Liesl Bedorik, who I mentioned before, was writing shows with for the Opera House kids' shows, and I'm a musician, not an actor, and specified to her, very happy to play things on stage, but not to speak and attempt to act. So she wrote in one of them, my character, Sideshow Pony. And Sideshow Pony was, in fact, asked questions, things like, what's your favourite colour? And instead of having to speak, I'd do things like play dun, 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 deep purple, et cetera, et cetera. So Sideshow Pony, just a fun name with a lot of, wonderfulness associated.
Leonie Cohen, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much.